Hello everyone, this is Deacon Louis Zemlich with the Epiphany Radio Program here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're glad you're with us here today on this Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. So a lot of really great things to talk about, and yes, Jesus was baptized. And isn't that an amazing thing? So we're going to talk a little bit about baptism, and that is, of course, is from Luke chapter 3. And there's several of the Gospels have baptismal stories of Jesus, and some different in little ways, so you can always look that up in Scripture too. But let us go right into some of our other things that we need to talk about today too, which is if you're interested in anything about the Catholic Church or getting baptized or getting your children baptized or receiving the sacraments, and the Catholic Church, the original Christian Church, Catholic means universal, so this is the universal Christian Church throughout the world that has been in existence now for over almost 2,000 years. So you think about that, and you think about all of that history, and you know, you have to be doing something right, right? I mean, unfortunately, we have people in the church, so a lot of mistakes are made. People do terrible things. People go to jail. People get arrested. Even sometimes with our parishioners, things like that happen. You know, it is life. And of course, we always pray and hope for the best for everyone in this world. But unfortunately, my brothers and sisters, this is a fallen world. And our society seems to be getting worse and worse. But I really think, as I was speaking with some folks this last week in Bible study, this is our day and time. These are the problems that we have to deal with in our day and time. Our ancestors had problems. Our parents had problems. Their parents before them had problems. But the problems we have today, the key is for us not to stick our heads in the sand and pretend they're not happening, but to really look at our faith and look at our relationship with God and say, you know, what am I doing? Am I trying to help humanity, or am I hurting it? Am I for life, or am I for death? And my brothers and sisters, baptism is life. And we're going to, still in the Christmas season, if you do it the old school way, goes all the way until the presentation of the Lord, which I believe is February 3rd. So if you want to leave your Christmas tree up, go ahead. I always leave some of my Christmas lights on until that point. But so if you're interested in anything about the Catholic Church, you can go to Diocese Kalamazoo website, diokzoo.org. And also, all of our radio programs are archived at holyfamilyradio.net. And, of course, you can listen to Catholic Radio, 91.5 Kalamazoo, 89.7 Battle Creek area, AM 1140 throughout the Grand Rapids area, and also 98.3 in Grand Rapids area. And just a lot of beautiful things in the church, you know, and I'm contemplating that just this last week as well. You know, the church is very beautiful, my brothers and sisters. It all has meaning. It all has a reason and a rhythm to it. Just like the changing of the seasons. We go from Christmas and the Christmas season. And by the time the Christmas season is over, within 30 days, the Easter season will start. And then we go into the long stretch, of course, of ordinary time. And then we head back into the Christmas season again. But this is our lives. This is our lives, my brothers and sisters. We're going to have ups and downs. We're going to have pain and sorrow. People are going to choose to do the wrong thing. People are going to choose to do the right thing. But we have to ask ourselves and be honest with ourselves. To thine own self be true of where am I at today in my life. And not to be afraid of God. If you had a bad relationship with your parents, God is not your earthly mother or father. God is God, and God loves you. God created you, and God is going to bring you home someday. And hopefully you will choose to be with God. You will choose to say yes to Jesus Christ. Yes to that pure love the pure love of a father, a brother, a beautiful family. So let's go right into our readings today. The Baptism of the Lord, January 13th, 2019. A reading from Isaiah 42, 1 through 4, and 6 and 7. Thus says the Lord, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. He shall bring forth justice to the nations, not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoldering wick he shall not quench, until he establishes justice on the earth. The coastlands will wait for his teaching. I, the Lord, have called you for the victory of justice. I have grasped you by the hand. I formed you, and I set you as a covenant of the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from confinement, and from the dungeon those who live in darkness. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading today is from the Acts of the Apostles. It's Acts 10, 34 through 38. Peter proceeded to speak to those gathered in the house of Cornelius, saying, in truth, I see that God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him. You know the word that he sent to the Israelites, as he proclaimed peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. What has happened all over Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading today is the Gospel of Luke. It's Luke 3, 15 through 16, and then 21 through 22. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. The people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved son. With you I am well pleased. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So some beautiful readings we have today. And I have to apologize, that chunk in the gospel of Luke, you know, that, and unfortunately, you know, the biblical scholars within the church who do the readings, you know, they try to get the bulk of the readings, the meat of the subject, you know, but sometimes we, you know, we do things for the sake of time, right? You know, people want to be out of church in 1 hour. You know, 1 hour. I got 1 hour for God. And that's it. I even talked about that this week, you know, about, you know, what do we do when we go to a movie or we go to a football game? And, you know, the preacher over in Detroit was talking about this. You know, we get there 10, 15 minutes early, you know, to the movie theater. You know, sometimes, maybe we don't. We get there, you know, we don't care where we sit or whatever. But, you know, sometimes it was that way at Christmas Mass, you know, that Christmas, right? Christ Mass. I wonder where that word comes from. That's where it comes from. Christ's Mass. The Mass. The real, true worship of Jesus Christ is found in the Catholic Church. In its entirety. In its entirety. In its fullness. And those of you who have never been to a Catholic Mass, you're more than welcome to come. Come on. You can do everything except receive the Eucharist, except receive Holy Communion. Because when you receive Holy Communion, you're saying, I believe everything the Church teaches. And I want to be in communion with Jesus Christ. I want to be in communion with God. And you cannot have mortal sin on your soul, or it may kill you if you receive it, according to Paul, who says those very things. In 1 Corinthians 12, we bring destruction upon ourselves by receiving something holy, so holy, unworthily. See? Very powerful. Very powerful teaching. Very powerful reality. See? So, you know, we have this little piece that's cut out in that with Luke chapter 3, but I just want to read that a little bit further into that, where they talk about this, the baptism of Jesus in Luke chapter 3. And so it goes on that, so it has this little chunk, and then it talks about the genealogy. So, it goes here, after the people had been baptized and Jesus had been baptized, he was praying and heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him. But just before that, there's this little bit that starts at 17. His winnowing fan is his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with an unquenchable fire. Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached the good news to the people. Now Herod, the tetrarch, who had been censured by him because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and because of all the evil deeds Herod had committed, added still another to these also by putting John in prison. So you think about this, my brothers and sisters. We think about this dichotomy of human beings. John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, and then Herod. And Herodias, see, you have this beautiful goodness, and then you have this evil. We still have it today, my brothers and sisters. We still have it in our society, and we still have it in our culture. But let me go to the first reading from Isaiah. That the Father's voice responds to his Son's acceptance and entirely is delighted in his Son. In Jesus, the law is no longer in stone, but in our hearts, of the servant who becomes a covenant people, because he will faithfully bringing forth justice. Christ's passion is the Father's will. The Son acts as God's servant. How many of us can say that? That we act as God's servants. I hope and pray that I try to. I try to do that, but I fail every day. You know, Scripture says a righteous man falls 7 times a day. You think about that. I mentioned to someone, you know, this Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis, this little book, Imitation of Christ. And many times Thomas A. Kempis mentions in there that we are but worms. Ooh, right? You think about that. We are but worms. And what we do and what we say and how we act and how we treat others, how we value life or devalue life, we are but worms. And it really is quite humbling. And I think it's good not to dwell on that. I'm not saying to, you know, tie yourself to the butt-kicking machine, as they say, especially they say that in recovery, which is quite true. You know, we don't want to depress ourselves or make less than ourselves. We need to forgive ourselves. But we also need to be honest with ourselves. And my brothers and sisters, sometimes we are like worms. We are. But by God's grace, by baptism, being saved, by God's grace, we become restored into this family. In case you're just joining us, my brothers and sisters, this is the Epiphany Radio Program here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. My name is Deacon Louis Zemlich, and we're really glad you're with us here today. And, you know, any preachers out there or anyone who would like to challenge this or me on any of these teachings, these things that I talk about, I'd be happy to stop by your church. I'd be happy to talk with you, have lunch with you, have breakfast, come to your Bible study, to discuss these things, to discuss what the church has taught for 2,000 years, and that it is the truth, the full truth, and that we all should open our ears to hearing it. And I'd be more than happy to do that, to talk to you or your group or whomever. Infant baptism is important, my brothers and sisters. Baptism is important. And in a certain kind of way, if you really believe in the grace of God, if you really believe that there is nothing that I can do to be saved, if you really believe that, then what greater way to receive the grace of God than as an infant? Right? It is the will of the family that the child be included in the ultimate family, the family of God, to receive those graces and protection. If you believe that we can do nothing, because we can do nothing, God does it all. By God's grace, God does it all. Through baptism, through the sacraments, through Holy Communion, we can do nothing. We can't even take credit for going to church. God draws us to do that. See? So if you believe in grace, but if you believe that, you know, you have to have an act of the will, you have to make an act of the will, you have to be a grown adult, you have to give yourself to, you have to make a conscious decision. Well, then I guess that's a work then, isn't it? And as far as I've heard over and over and over again, that works are nothing. I know works are something. I'm Catholic. Faith without works is dead. James chapter 5. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, God's grace works. Especially through little babies. Little children, the image, the very image of heaven. But I think there's something very demonic about it. Very demonic about that teaching, not to include children. Not to include children in baptism. Not to include children. And all over in the Acts of the Apostles, and we see some of that even in the Acts of the Apostles, of where entire families were baptized. Entire families were brought in with the Lord. There's over 10 different scripture passages where entire families, where children were baptized by Jesus. Think about that. By the apostles. Think about that. Entire families. And not to mention that for the last up until about 50 years ago, it was a common practice in most Protestant churches, Bible churches, Baptist churches, baptizing children, bringing them in to Christ's family. So I challenge anyone very harshly on that, because I think it is a great, great disparity, a great sin to lead people along the wrong way. I've even heard someone say that, you know, that, oh, well, you got to do it in a certain way. You know, you got to be totally immersed, you know, for the baptism to work. Are you kidding me? Now you have restraints on God? It has to be done this way? The only thing I know is this, and you can do this as a Christian who's been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You come upon an accident and someone is there dying and they wish, please, I want to be saved. I want to be baptized. Will you baptize me? And if you are a Christian and you've been baptized with water baptism, sprinkled, immersed, whatever, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It doesn't even have to be holy water. Be bottled water. That is valid baptism in the Catholic Christian Church. See? Simplicity, but meaning. Very simple, but meaningful. And history to go with it. Tradition to go with it. Thousands of years to go with it. Not 50 years or something somebody learned in the seminary 20 years ago. Oh, you don't need to baptize anybody. To me, they don't need to be baptized until you're, you know, 15 years old or 20 years old. And I ask those children out there, anyone who's listening, teenagers, if you haven't been baptized, get baptized. We'd love for you to be in the Catholic Church. But it is nonsense not to get baptized. It is nonsense. We'll go into these Acts of the Apostles. That Jesus' messianic consecration was revealed during the time of his earthly life. At the moment of his baptism by John, then God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. God anoints Jesus. Christ means anointed. And that's part of the baptismal ritual too, within the Catholic Church, is that you're also anointed with the chrism oil. You're also anointed with the oil on the breastplate of your, right at the bottom of your neck with the oil of catechumens. And then the chrism oil on the crown of your head. So beautiful. So beautiful. Anointing. This is what the whole life of Christ will be made manifest, and how God anointed Jesus from Nazareth. This oil, this chrism oil, since the beginning, oil has been used and still is today. Christ will baptize you and I with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John the Baptist points out Jesus as the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. The Father's voice responds to the Son's acceptance from the Gospel. See? The Father's voice responds. His entire delight in his Son. And Jesus always prays. Prays and prays and prays. And I ask you, my brothers and sisters, do you pray? We just got a few minutes left in our program here. In case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program, and my name is Deacon Louis Zimlick here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, you know, it's very important for us to learn how to pray, to talk to Jesus, to talk to God. And I want to read this one little passage out of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Just a beautiful book on the teachings of the Church, and also explanation of a lot of the scriptures and what the church teaches on all the scriptures too, as well. And this is from 761 of the Catechism. It's actually responding to the Acts of the Apostles 10 that we've read today. And it goes like this. The gathering together of the people of God began at the moment when sin destroyed the communion of men with God and that of men amongst themselves. They gathered together in the church is, as it were, God's reaction to the chaos provoked by sin. This reunification is achieved secretly in the hearts of all people. And every nation, everyone who fears him and does what is right and is acceptable to God. You think about that, my brothers and sisters. Think about if you're ready. I think about sometimes if I'm ready to see God face to face. See God face to face. And then we haven't touched on, you know, through the holidays, we've been very busy, and we haven't really talked about theology of the body very much, but I invite you to go to EWTN's website, EWTN.com, and look up St. Pope John Paul's Theology of the Body. And there's this audience that this is the original innocence of man's historical state. From his general audience from the 13th of February, 1980, the Holy Father reexamines our first parents. The original innocence and their nature was originally graced. How it affected their relationship to each other and to the nuptial meaning of their bodies as male and female. Because this is how we are created. This is how God creates us, male and female. To be this family, to be a blessing to one another. And so, my brothers and sisters, I ask you as you go forward during this week, especially if you have not been baptized, get baptized. If it's not in the Catholic Church, pick a good Christian church that will baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But if you want the fullness of all the sacraments, the fullness of all the graces that God has to offer, God has created this church. Jesus has created this church from the very beginning, from the beginning with St. Peter, our first pope, our first guide, our first holy father. And all through the ages of the hands that have been laid upon us, all through the ages, through sacred orders, through holy orders, in the priesthood, in the diaconate. For all the men and women who work so hard, good men and women. Now the church is not without fault, my brothers and sisters. And if you've been hurt or harmed in any way by the church, please let the diocese know. Let our bishop know, Paul Bradley. He will address it. And we have a lot of very good priests, a lot of very good deacons and religious in our church. Wonderful, beautiful, holy people. But unfortunately, my brothers and sisters, just like in any organization or any business, you have people who make mistakes. People who choose the wrong thing to do. People who choose evil. People who have been hurt and damaged and really been greatly harmed in their own lives. And that has affected them in their older time, in their older lives. And unfortunately, those bad things do happen. But my brothers and sisters, we pray for the church, we pray for humanity, we pray for our leaders, we pray for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, all of our brothers and sisters of all other faiths and religions throughout the world. And may Almighty God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. We love you.